summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. The one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, "Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things, and I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." And the one with the 2 talents also came forward, saying, "Master, you handed over to me 2 talents. See, I've made 2 more talents. And his master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." Then the one who had received the 1 talent also came forward, saying, "Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow, gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours." But his master replied, "You wicked and lazy slave. You knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one with 10 talents. For to all those who have more, will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Let the church say amen. 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 Want to use for a thought, when joy is denied. When joy is denied. Church, I remember growing up and how the U.S. Armed Forces had a recruiting sign that said, "Uncle Sam wants you." Y'all remember that? Well, along that same line, I believe it to be just as important for the church, because the church needs and wants you. When we think about how the church came into being that spectacular day in the upper room on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit rushed into the place and shook it up, and the gathered believers who were waiting in anticipation of expectation. What happened on that day? The Bible declares from Acts 2 and 4, it says that all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. The important piece to remember from this verse of Scripture is not how the believers responded to being filled with the Spirit, but what is most important is what they received. The Spirit gave them ability. What a gift that has been bestowed upon us as born again believers who make up the church. We all have been given ability. Somebody say ability. Now, when I speak of ability, I want you to see from this perspective of the biblical text. And so our working definition of ability is, ability is having the power to perform regardless of pressure, regardless of fear, by taking a responsible risk when living by faith. The truth of the matter is that we all have the ability, the power to perform regardless of pressure, without fear, by taking a responsible risk when living by faith. Yet the reality is that the church can only function to the degree that we as believers are willing to step up and use our God-given gift called ability. For when we are functioning in our ability, the church becomes able to fulfill her mission. And this is why I said earlier, the church wants you. The church needs you because you have the ability. Somebody say ability. This is what the Apostle Paul talks about, 2 Corinthians 4 and 7. Paul says, we have this treasure, Lord have mercy, in clay vessels, so that it may be clear that this extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us. Our ability in the sight of God is considered entrusted treasure of extraordinary power. When we operate in our ability, we are operating in power. And we know that power is defined as the ability to get results. So the mandate for the church is to be able or get to the place where we perform out of power, utilizing our ability, not being just mere spectators, not being just mere sideline judges, but we got to be those who are bold enough to step out and willingly trust your entrusted treasure, the gift that God has given you. You see, we have this treasure. We got a treasure to make it happen. We got a treasure to get the results. Because the reality is that one day, all of us up in here, will one day have to give an account of how we utilize this gift, this treasure, our ability that God has given us for the building of his kingdom. We are responsible for operating in our gift of ability. Your commitment to use your ability God's way will turn your life into a blessing. Because there's a principle or a promise that God declares. He says, we reap. Y'all heard that before? What we sow. So often when it comes down to the church, we fail to understand that our right to have expectations of the church requires more than just being a member. But we got to be an active participant in using our gift. The reality is that the church will be as meaningful to you to the degree that you are willing to use your gift, your ability for the church. when we are not engaged in ministry, in helping other people, when we're not engaged in personal spiritual development through Bible study, through evangelism, through lifting up his name, when we don't take serious the opportunity to be on the choir stand and sing songs of Zion like it's your last time to praise his name, when we take for granted the privilege to be able to stand as a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord and we come lagging and sagging, when we take for granted the ability to work for the kingdom and be faithful, we miss out on an opportunity not only to be blessed, but to be a blessing. And so the question is, what is the factor that causes folk to be faithful? What is the factor that causes folk not to be faithful? What is it that propels folk to use their ability to work in the church, even when they're tired and when they don't feel well, they still press their way? What is it cause folk to be an encourager, to help other folk even when you need help yourself? What is it that makes the difference? Church, I believe the difference is made based upon the factor that those who keep on keeping on, they do it because they have maintained their joy. Somebody say joy. You see, the joy factor is vitally important to us as believers. You see, the work and the willingness of church folk to be faithful to what God has given them is predicated on your joy. You see, when there is no joy, there will be no faithfulness. When there is no joy, there can be no productivity, no growth, no vibrancy. The joy factor is what pushes you against the odds. It's what makes you go the second mile of the way. When you are caught in tough circumstances, you are not bound by your situation, but you press on anyway because you got something on the inside that's working on the outside. When you got joy, you smile when you ought to be crying. When you got joy, you act like a millionaire when you're broke as Job's turkey. When you got joy, folk want to know, what is this? Good God Almighty. That make you feel so good to do the work of the Lord. When folk want to inquire of you, why you stay down there at that church all the time? You tell them, I got joy. You need to get some too so you can get down there. But it's a sad state of affairs when people lose their joy. We see so many instances where folk have lost their joy. Let me see if I can come to your avenue right now. You used to report to work on time, give your best, but now you just drag on in there Instead of working, you're watching the clock. You're late to come and quick to leave. Because on your job, you have lost your job. Husband and wife. You used to sit so close to each other in the car until when folk passed you by, they thought only one person was in the car. But now they pass you by, both of you hugging the door. You used to live like Ken and Barbie, but now you're living like roommates. Because in marriage, you lost. B.B. King said a thrill. Y'all know B.B. In church, you used to praise God and make a joyful noise unto the Lord. You used to come up in here skipping and saying, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. But now you lost your joy. You're sitting like a frog on a log. Looking like you've been baptized in vinegar. Got no praise, got no worship. Just going through the routine because you've allowed your joy to be compromised. You see, the Bible tells us joy is so important. Nehemiah 8:10 tells us the joy of the Lord is your strength. Strength is the demonstration of power. It is the doing. It is the exercising. It is the ability to perform. Your strength, church, is tied directly to your joy. When you can deny the Lord, when you can defy the Lord, it is a sign that you're weak. Weak believers make up weak churches that don't exercise power because of a lack of joy. And when you don't perform, when you don't use your God-given gift for God's purpose, it'll cost the church in the short run, but it'll cost you in the long run. And this is the underlying theme of this parable concerning the talents. Y'all all right? The Bible tells us that the master gave three of his servants or entrusted with them his property according to their ability. He gave all three of them something because he recognized they all had ability. They all had the power to perform. And two of them utilized their ability, but one of them, there's always one who did not utilize his ability. And it wasn't that the other two were gifted greater, but their level of joy determined what the master was willing to entrust to them. You see, talent is not the greatest factor in the final analysis, but attitude is the thing that rises to the top. Give me somebody with less talent, but with a good attitude over somebody who has much talent and a bad attitude. Because when it comes down to joy, joy is an attitude of willingness to do the will of God regardless of anything else. Yeah, when you think you can stop God's program because you think you're a big bag of chips.
Don't you know God will get somebody up under the bridge, straighten them up and put them where you ought to be, and let you live long enough to see how you miss out on your blessing? Grandma said, if you get too high, God has a way, God Almighty, bringing you down. Attitude of joy is what makes the difference, because my blessing does not come from my circumstance. It comes from the Lord. So it is important that we guard our joy, keep our joy, maintain our joy, because it is our strength and it keeps us operating in our ability to do the will of God. Somebody say, hold on to your joy. Now we see three things that happen when you deny your joy. The first thing is you bury your ability. The one who was given one. The Bible tells us he dug a hole and buried master's money. The church suffers from hole diggers who have buried God's gift. When people will not use what God has given them, the biggest excuse that people will give for not being faithful in the church is that they always say, I don't know what my gift is. Well, you'll never discover without trying. How many of you know you'll never swim until you get in the water? You gotta try. You will discover along the journey. You'll never find without seeking. And you'll never be given without asking. You see, the joy factor propels us to step out, take a risk for the Lord. God expects us to trust what he has entrusted to us. People bury their abilities based on many things, some for selfish reasons. There are some people who have made personal well-being a priority over spiritual well-being. And how many of you know in the end you're going to end up empty, because the things of this world can never satisfy the heart. Then there are others who are afraid of personal persecution, so they bury their ability. They're scared what other folk might say about them. They worried how folk might treat them if they got the ability to get the job done. So they dumb down their ability, not to please God, but to please the clique and the crowd, your running buddies, your girlfriends, your homeboys. And so you know you can do better, but won't do better. Bury your ability. And then others bury their ability based on a painful experience. Somebody hurt your feelings. Somebody didn't call your name. Somebody did you wrong. And so now the gift God has given you, you're going to take your gift and sit down on God. Quit working in the church. Now that boyfriend you got doesn't treat you so bad and he did you wrong, you ain't quit him yet, but you'll quit God. Folk on the job, they dragging you, overlooking you. But you still led chinning and grinning in their face, but you quit God. taking your bat and ball and going home. Don't you know your blessing is not found in people, but your blessing is from Almighty God.
You got to be like Brother Bill Withers. Bill Withers told that woman, you just keep on using me till you use me up, because I ain't going a Jennifer Holliday. No, 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 no way. I'm living without you.
That's how you got to love God. You can't make me quit, God. You can't make me sit down, oh God. He's been too good to me. The old folks say you talk about me just as much as you please, but I'll talk about you down on my knees.
Bury your ability. Lost your joy. The second thing that causes us to deny joy is that we are unwilling to be responsible for what we know. The guy who buried his ability gave the reasoning that he did not put his ability to work. Verse 24, he said, I knew that you were a harsh man. I knew this. Reaping where you did not sow. Gathering where you did not scatter seed. Church, when you don't have joy, you will deny what you know you should be doing. Folk don't tithe. You know that's what you ought to be doing. You know that's what God requires of you. But you don't do it because you don't have joy in your giving. You will defy and not be responsible for what you know. This is why when the master asks for a report, the other two report it with joy. What they had done, and nothing is as joyful as knowing that you've done what God told you to do. You see, folk who tithe, they give with joy because it is an expression of their obedience to God. It is their attitude of gratitude to give back to God, because how many of you know you can't beat God's giving? The more you give, the more he gives to you. Joy is the ability to act on what you know God expects. Well, finally, third point is simply this, church. You lose joy when you don't use joy.
Amen.
If you don't use it, you lose it. Church, the revelation of this parable is that in the end, the two that used their ability was given more, and the one that buried his ability lost what he had. But the tragedy of the one is that in the end, he did not receive the reward that the two others received, and that was an invitation to enter into the master's joy. Because he failed to have a willing attitude, because he failed to operate in his God-given ability, in the end, he was not blessed with the master's joy. And church, we lose our joy when we don't use our joy. When we are faithful to God and do the will of God, God will bless us. John 15:11 says,
I have said these things to you so that your joy may be in you and that your joy might be complete. You see, when you have joy, the church is blessed. And when you have joy, your life is blessed. When you have joy, you'll be willing to operate in the unique gift that God has given you, regardless of what folks say, regardless of your personal pain. How many of you know if you be faithful, won't the Lord lift you up? Won't the Lord bless you real good? But you gotta be faithful because we all have a unique ability. We all have a unique assignment that God has given us to bless the church and to be a blessing. Well, it's getting close Christmas, and there's a little show that I like to watch every Christmas season. I've been watching it ever since I was a little boy. Some of you know the story of Rudolph, the red-nosed reindeer. How many of you know the story? The song says, Rudolph, the red-nosed reindeer, had a very shiny nose. He had a unique gift. He had a unique ability. And the song says, and if you ever saw it, you would even say it glows. But because Rudolph had a different ability, it says all of the other reindeers used to laugh and call him names. They wouldn't even let poor Rudolph join in any reindeer games. They ostracized Rudolph. They wouldn't work with Rudolph. But you know God has a way of turning things around. The song says, then one stormy Christmas Eve, Santa came and said, I need somebody. We got a storm. I can't deliver these toys. We got a storm. I need somebody. Prancer couldn't do it. Dancer couldn't do it. None of the other reindeers couldn't do it. And Santa said, Rudolph, I said, Rudolph, with your nose so bright, won't you guide my sleigh tonight? And when Rudolph started operating in his gift, the Lord will make your enemies your footstool. It says all of the other reindeers, they start falling in love with Rudolph. How the reindeers love him, and they shout it out with glee. Young people, y'all remember this song? You remember there's an old rap song that says, back then you didn't want me, but now I'm hot, you're all on me. Rudolph, Lord have mercy. Rudolph was getting the praise. Rudolph was getting the glory because he operated in his gift. Etta Snowfalk, I challenge you to step out and take a responsible risk for the Lord. I challenge you to operate in your joy. I challenge you to do the will of God, come what may. And the Lord will, I said the Lord will, he'll bless you real good. Is there anybody here got joy this morning? Don't fool me now. Do you have joy? Do you have joy? Do you have joy? Because no matter what you go through, the Bible says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy, somebody say joy. Somebody say joy. Joy comes in the morning.